Hi Krishna， 亲爱的奉献者们，瓦昆达之音服务员与聆听，今天是2020年10月15日。今天呢，我们又非常荣幸的邀请到我们尊敬的陈诚瑞克法布，继续为我们讲述主 Krishna 在文达本斩杀恶魔的逍遥时光。欢迎大家聆听 ，Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna and good morning to everybody. So we'll chant our prayers and then we shall continue with the Brahma Vimohana Lila.
Hare Krishna, 大家早上好。我们呢先念诵一些祷文，然后呢我们来继续讲述Brahma Vimohana Lila 的逍遥时光。
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale.Srimate Tama Krishna Roswami Iti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya DeshatarineOm Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Palakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam SagrajatamSahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Iva Sindhukya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato JayamudirayetOm Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hare Krishna. So, this is our third sharingOn the Brahma Vimohana Lila.
这是我们对于Brahma Vimohana Lila 这个逍遥时光的第三课。
So we shall finish this pastime today.
我们今天呢将会来讲完这个逍遥时光。
So last time we ended.We ended where all the cowherd boys and calves transformed themselves to the, sorry, where the Vishnu Murti forms, where the forearm forms of Lord Vishnu that had become the calves and boys.
Mm.在上周呢我们就是结束的时候呢就谈到了这个势必行礼的威士奴的这个形象呢全都转变成了这个牧牛童以及牛犊的形象。
Sorry, I got that mixed up. The other way around. The cowherd boys, the other way around, sorry.
Okay.
你不说吗
You mean
the boys transformed into the Vishnu Murti forms?
就是呢，这些男孩们变成了这个Vishnu的这个形象。
We all remember how Lord Brahma returned to see what was going on.
我们大家还记得吗？就是主巴玛他回去，然后想看一下到底是发生了什么情景。
What did Krishna do, or what has been happening for this last 1 year when the boys had been stolen?
就是呢，在这些孩子们被偷走之后呢，在这一年之内， Krishna 他到底做了什么呢？
And as we remember, Lord Brahma could not understand what was what.
我们都知道，主巴玛呢，他真的想不通到底是发生了什么样的情景。
Because when he returned, everything was exactly the same as it was 1 year ago.
因为当他回来的时候呢，他就是发现一切都跟一年之前是一模一样的。So
he was trying to understand who are these, who is this set of cowherd boys and calves.
所以呢，他想要去理解，就是他面前所看到的这些牧牛童牛犊，到底他们是谁？
Are they the set that he stole? Are they some other set? Are they? He just became totally confused.
就是这一套牧牛童以及牧牛这些牛犊是他所偷走的，还是说他们是另外的？
And remember, we spent some time talking about Vimohana, the how V means especially confused.
我们那也花了一些时间讨论了这个 Vimohana 这个它的含义，尤其是这个 V， 它就是前面指特殊的，就是尤其它受到了困惑。
Like Vimukta. Or vijnana or vikarma, right? It means especially something something.
就是比如说为摩汉那， 然后呢为karma，为mukti， 就是前面加一个为呢， 就指代尤其特别的。
And why he was, one reason why he was so confused is because he was using this Aroha Panta.
就是他其中受到困惑的一个原因，就是他用这个 Aroha Panta.
We spoke about the two ways of receiving knowledge.
我们谈到了就是接受知识的两种方法。
Last week we spoke about this.
对，在上周的时候呢，我们谈到了接受知识的方法。
Do you remember, Jamuna Priya?
Yes.
What are the Sanskrit terms?
First is Avaroha Panta.
Good.
The other is Avaroha.
Good. Yes. And what kind of knowledge is that? What process is that?
It requires the descending knowledge.
Good. And the other one?
The other one is Aroha. Aroha Panta.
Good. Okay. So you can tell? You
descending knowledge.
Good.
就是说我们上周谈到了接受知识的两种方法，就是范文呢，一种是 Avaroha Panta， 就是说自上而下传递下来的知识，另外一种呢是 Aroha Panta。 就是说，由下而上，经过一己的这个推敲，自己的想要用自己的智性去理解知识。So
Lord Brahma had four heads, right? So he was really thinking a lot.
主巴玛呢，他有四个头，所以呢，他就一直在那冥思苦想着。And
the more he thought, the more confused he became.
他想的越多，然后呢，他越受困惑。So
this is basically where we finished.
所以呢，基本上是我们上节课结束的地方。
No, actually, we finished later. We discussed some more. So at a certain point, he understood.
事实上呢，我们上节课就是不光是讲到这，还讲了其他的内容。然后呢，所以呢，就是在某个点上呢，这个主巴玛他就受到了这个迷惑。
He understood. At a certain point, he understood.
就是呢，他在某一个点上，他最终理解到。
Why? Because the Lord revealed to him.
为什么呢？就是因为主亲自向他揭示了。
Not because of his intelligence, his own intelligence, but because the Lord revealed to him.
并不是由于他自己的智慧，而是由于主亲自向他揭示。
He understood that all these calves and boys were forms of the Lord because the Lord revealed it.
然后呢，他就理解到这些牧牛童、这些牛犊呢，他们都是主的这个形体，就是借由主的向他揭示，他才知道。 Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm just looking for the... So, when the Lord revealed, first, when the Lord revealed that all the calves and boys were himself, were the Vishnu Murtis, first, the Lord revealed his opulence.
首先呢，就是主向他揭示，就是所有的这些牧牛童的这个牛犊，都是他的这个Vishnu的这个形象。主首先向他揭示了他的富裕。All
the Vishnu forms were being worshipped by all of the Lord's potencies.
主的所有的这些威士努的形体呢，就受到了他的这个能量所崇拜。So
many potencies the Lord has, and all of these potencies, they have personifications.
就是主有这么多的能量，所有的他这种能量呢，他都有他的这个人格的这个代表。
So all these personifications of the Lord's potencies were worshipping these Vishnu forms.
主的这些能量的这个人格代表化身呢，他就在那崇拜着主的这个Vishnu的这个形象。
And Lord Brahma was seeing this opulence of the Lord.
所以呢，主Brahma他就见证到主的这种富裕的展示。
And we had discussed last week also how the Lord revealed his opulence to Arjuna in chapter 11 of Bhagavad Gita.
在三节课中呢，我们也提到了，就是在《薄伽梵歌》的第十一章中，主Krishna也同样向Arjuna揭示了他的这种富裕。
Right, and after some time, it just became too much for him.
就是阿尔朱纳看了一段时间之后呢，对他来说就有点承受不住了。Right,
and he asked the Lord to return to his original form.
所以呢，于是他就请求主重新回到他原初的形体。So
something similar happened with Lord Brahma. Firstly, the Lord revealed his opulences.
所以呢，在主Brahma的这个例子当中也是一样的。首先呢，主就向主Brahma揭示了他的富裕。But
then it became too much for Lord Brahma to see, and then he couldn't even see. He became so mystified that he could no longer see. It was just the opulence of the Lord was just so unlimited that even for him it was too much.
但是呢，就是主Brahma看了之后呢，一段时间他也是，就是这些对他来说就是招架不住了。然后呢，所以后来呢，就是 主布拉玛呢，他也是受到这种迷惑，他甚至都看不到主的这种展示了，因为主的这种富裕呢，它是无限的，即便是对主布拉玛来说，他也是就是承受不住。
And then the Lord understood. Lord Brahma didn't ask anything because already he was feeling very guilty. So he didn't ask anything, but the Lord understood Brahma could not understand, and then he covered his opulences again, and he just appeared as the simple cowherd boy.
所以呢，就是主呢，他也理解到就是主 Brahma 的他的一个情况。这时候呢，主 Brahma 他已经感到非常的内疚，就是即便主 Brahma 没有亲自要求主，但是呢，主理解了主 Brahma 的一个实际的情况，他知道他无法理解他的这种富裕，所以呢，他就把他的这个富裕又给掩藏起来，又重新回到了他的作为牧牛童的一个形体。
And it explains that Krishna appeared exactly the same as he did 1 year ago. He was just wandering around with the yogurt rice in his left hand, innocently looking for the calves and the boys. Exactly the same as it was.
所以呢，就是在这个诗中就描述说呢，主重新变回了他一年之前的就是那一刻的就是场景。他呢也是就是左手拿着那个带着酸奶的这个米饭，然后呢他就是非常天真无邪的，就是去寻找着这些牧牛童以及牛犊，就和一年前的这个情景是一模一样的。
And 1 year ago, this was the form innocent Krishna searching for the calves and boys that bewildered Lord Brahma to begin with.
就是这个形象呢，是一年之前的这个形象呢，就是让主 Brahma 看到之后呢，就是感到困惑。
We remember because you know, he had just seen Krishna liberate Agasura and all the demigods were praising him. But then he just saw this innocent little boy walking around like he was looking for something and he didn't know. And then he got confused. Is this the same Lord Narayan? Is this the... This was the form that confused him.
所以呢，就是一年前的时候呢，就是主巴玛看到了主的这个形象，当时呢就是Krishna 他给予了这个阿甘苏拉这个解脱，然后呢这个半身人们都开始赞美主，然后呢主呢也是以这种形象，他呢就是非常的天真无邪，然后呢他四处的在那走动的，像是在寻找什么东西。这个时候呢，主 Brahma 看到这个Krishna 的牧牛童的形象，他当时就疑惑道：“这难道就是我的主南亚的吗？”然后，所以他就感到困惑了。
Right, we spoke about that at the time, and we'll speak more about it today also. But Lord Brahma's conception of the absolute truth was one of power and opulence.
所以呢，我们之前有提到这一点，我们今天呢就更多的来讲述。那么主 Brahma 他对于主的这个概念呢，他认为主是充满有力量，而且是充满着敬畏的。
So when he saw this little boy innocently searching for the calves and the cowherd boys, he was mystified. Are these the same people? And that's why he wanted to test Krishna.And that's what this is how the pastime began.
所以呢，当他看到 Krishna 作为这个牧牛童，非常的天真无邪，然后呢，在那四处的来寻找什么东西的时候呢，他就受到了困惑。他就想，这难道是同一个主吗？然后呢，他就决定要测试一下 Krishna。这也是这个逍遥时光开始的一个缘由。
So now, after all of this, he sees exactly the same form.
所以呢，发生了这一切之后呢，他又重新看到了是同一个形体。
But now he understands that this little boy is not just a little boy.
但是这个时候他已经明白到了，这个小男孩可不是，只是一个小男孩。
He understands this little boy who is acting like a little boy, innocently looking for his cowherd friends and calves. He understands this boy is the supreme personality of Godhead. Now he has understood clearly.
但是现在呢，他就是非常清楚地理解到，就是这个看起来是天真无邪的这小男孩，他只是在四处想要寻找这些牧牛童以及牛犊的这个小男孩，现在就是他的这个至尊主，他已经非常清晰地理解到。
So initially, the Lord revealed his opulences, and Lord Brahma, he just became overwhelmed, and then Krishna revealed his sweetness, his sweet form of the cowherd boy of Vrindavan.
在最开始的时候呢 ，Krishna 就向主 Brahma 展示了他的这种富裕。主 Brahma 呢就觉得，就是对他来说就已经是太过了。然后呢，他无法招架。那么最后呢 ，Krishna 就是向主 Brahma 又展示了他的甜美的，就是他在 Vrindavan 作为牧牛童的这个形体。
And then, as we discussed last week also, Lord Brahma got down from his swan carrier and offered his obeisances many, many times because each time he wanted to offer obeisances with each of his heads, so he had to get up and bow down many times.
我们上周呢也提到了，就是后来呢，主 Brahma 他就从他的天鹅座驾上下来，然后呢向主进行无数次的顶拜，因为他就是要确保他的每一个头都能够向 Krishna 做出这种顶拜，所以呢他就反反复复的就是很多次。
And then he offered his prayers, which is chapter 14 of the Bhagavatam.
之后呢，他就供奉了他的祷文，这也是呢我们在那不叫瓦坛的这个第十四章。
And I sent you a summary of the prayers as given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary.
我呢就是跟你们大家分享了有关圣Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur 对就是这个师姐他所做的一个评述。
Did anybody translate that?
Yeah. Just the last Thursday I shared with devotees.
Okay, good. So that's the summary of Lord Brahma's prayers.
就是上周呢，法布给我们分享的那个师姐的一个评述，我后来就发到那个微信奉爱聆听群，跟大家分享了他做的这个评述。那么他这个评述呢，就是主 Brahma 他祈祷的一个概述。
Just a moment. So, in general, in the first part of his prayers, then again, Lord Brahma glorifies the Lord's opulence.
就是在他的这个祈祷最开始的时候呢，他先是荣耀了主的这种富裕。
And then, as if you remember from the summary there, from text 31, then Lord Brahma glorifies again the Lord's sweetness and the intimacy of the devotees in Vrindavan have for him.
就是呢，如果你们大家就是还记得的话，就在这个概述当中呢，就是从第31诗节开始，就是主 Brahma 就是描述了主的这种甜美，以及他跟奉献者之间这种亲密的这个交流，他作为这个在文达问的这种形体跟奉献者之间的这种亲密的这种关系。
He's glorifying the fortune of these residents of Vrindavan.
他呢就荣耀了这个文达问居民的这种幸运。
And he really feels this way.
而且呢他自己真的是这样感受的。
Before, he couldn't understand this.
之前的话他可理解不了这一点。
He couldn't understand Krishna's Vrindavan form. He was wondering, right? Is this the supreme personality of Godhead?
之前的话呢就是他理解不了 Krishna 在 Vrindavan 的这个形体，然后呢他就有疑惑了，难道这就是自尊主吗？
Now we know Krishna revealed to him that his, you know, sweet Vrindavan Krishna form is the supreme personality of Godhead, and therefore now Lord Brahma understands there's no difference between the two.
现在呢，因为主亲自向他揭示了，所以呢，就是主 Brahma 他呢就理解到，就是 Krishna 的这个甜美的这个形象，他就是至尊主本人，所以呢，现在主 Brahma 就理解到，就是。这两个是没有区别的。
And now he is understanding the glory of the residents of Vrindavan.
现在呢，他得以理解到这个文达文居民的荣耀。
But for the whole time Lord Brahma was playing, Krishna had no response.
就是呢，在整个过程当中呢，主 Brahma 在那就是耍一些花招 ，Krishna 呢并没有去回应。
And in fact, it described Krishna was silent for the whole time.
就是呢，描述说 Krishna 是一直在保持着沉默。
And it describes Krishna's thinking process.What was he thinking during this time?
就描述了 Krishna 他的这个思考的这个过程，就是他在整个过程当中他是怎么想的。
So this was his thinking.
所以呢，这就是有关主的这个思考。
When Lord Brahma was praying.
就是当主 Brahma 向他pray, yeah?
Pray, 祈祷。
向他祈祷的过程当中。
So Krishna was thinking, who is this four-headed Brahma?
Krishna 就在那想，然后呢，这个四个头的 Brahma 是谁呢？
Where did he come from?
他来自于哪里？
What is he doing here?
他在这干什么呢？
And why is he speaking so much?
为什么他要说这么多呢？
I'm just a simple cowherd boy. I don't understand what he's talking about.
我只是一个非常简朴的一个小牧牛童，我真的不知道他在讲什么。
And he's disturbing me.
而且他真的打扰了我。
I'm looking for my calves and friends, and he's just speaking so many words and disturbing my search.
我呢在这找我的那些牛犊，我的朋友，然后呢他在讲这么多话，他真的打扰了我。
So during this time, Krishna.Forgot, you could say, his supreme personality of Godhead nature.
所以呢，在这个当下呢 ，Krishna 他其实可以说忘记了他的自尊的这个本性。
We have spoken about this point a few times.
我们呢就是提到过这一点， right. 就是有几次提到过。
But in Vrindavan particularly, the Lord, due to the affection he has for his devotees and the affection they have for him, sometimes he completely forgets. Or he just doesn't remember his supreme absolute personality form. He just thinks himself as an ordinary cowherd boy.
所以呢，就是在稳答问的这个消耗时光当中呢，我们就是提到了，由于 Krishna 对他奉爱奉献者的喜爱之情，以及他奉献者对他的这种奉爱之情呢，所以呢 ，Krishna 呢，他就有时候会忘记他的自尊的这个本性，然后呢，他呢就不会记起他作为至尊主的这么一个身份。所以呢，经常他就认为他自己就是一个很简朴的一个小牧牛童而已。
So in this, although just before he had shown all his expansions, but then after that, he became again overwhelmed with the sweetness of Vrindavan and the sweet intimate love of his devotees. And again, he just thought, I'm an ordinary boy. What is this four-headed person doing in front of me saying so many words?
所以呢，就是在刚开始的时候呢 ,Krishna 他还就是就是扩展了他自己向主 Brahma 揭示了但是呢后来就是他又回到了他的这个甜美的这个形体当中，那么呢 Krishna 这种甜美呢就让他想起来了这个稳达问以及这个稳达问的奉献者他们的这个甜美，于是呢就是Krishna 呢他就重新又做回了那个很简单的这个小牧牛童的这个身份，他当时呢他就以为自己就只是一个小牧牛童而已，然后呢他就看着这个是个头的 Brahma 在那在供奉祷文说那么多话，他就在想这个人在干嘛呢，为什么要说这么多呀。
So the sweetness covered the opulence.
所以呢主的这个甜美他就胜过了主的这个富裕。
And this is what happens in Vrindavan particularly.
这呢就尤其是发生在稳达稳。
Sometimes the Lord knows I'm supreme God and let me, you know, kill the demon or do this or do that. But very often the sweetness very quickly covers him again.
就是在稳达稳的时候呢 ，Krishna 有时候他知道自己是至尊主，他会杀这个恶魔，然后呢去。做这件事情去做那件事情，但是呢就是大部分情况下他的这种甜美都会覆盖他，然后呢让他就是忘记他的自尊的这个地位。
And the same applies for the residents.
而本达文的居民也是一样的。
Sometimes they see that Krishna does some really powerful activityLike, you know, lifting Govardhan Hill or killing a demon or something. And then, you know, maybe for some few moments they might think, is he Lord Narayan? But then very quickly, the sweetness of their affection covers that knowledge.
所以呢就是文达文的居民也是一样的，就是呢有时候当他们看到主 Krishna 上演很奇妙的一些活动的时候，就比如说 Krishna 举起高巴丹山或者 Krishna 杀死恶魔的时候呢，他们就觉得就是有那么一个片刻就在怀疑这个 Krishna 是不是主Narayana呢，但是呢大部分的情况是他们被自己对 Krishna 的这种奉爱的这种甜美所征服，然后呢他们就忘记了 Krishna 的这种至尊的地位，所以呢就是这种甜美之情就覆盖了他们的这种知识。
So as Lord Brahma was praying, the sweetness aspect covered his opulence.
所以呢就是正如这个主 Brahma 所祈祷的，这个甜美的就是胜过了这个知识。
And Krishna didn't say anything.
而且这时候 Krishna 一言不发。
So by this time Lord Brahma understood that maybe he is annoying Krishna.
所以呢这个时候呢就是主 Brahma 就意识到了然后呢或许他真的是就是激怒了 Krishna。
I'm speaking too much and he is not paying any attention to me, so maybe I should just leave. Better I just leave.
所以呢主 Brahma 这时候意识到 我讲了这么多，然后呢，他却对我视而不见，那么我还是最好离开吧。
I don't want to disturb him any longer, or disturb his pastimes, or his devotees. I don't want to disturb them any longer, so better I just leave.
所以呢，主 Brahma 他就意识到，就是 Krishna 对他好像视而不见，忽略他。然后呢，这个时候他就说，我还是最好不要打扰 Krishna 以及他的这些逍遥时光，他的奉献者，我还是最好离开吧。
I've already disturbed them enough. I took the cows and the boys away, and now, yeah, better I just go.
然后呢，他当时就想，我已经给他带来了这么多的打扰，我已经偷走了，他的这个牧牛童这些牛犊，然后呢，现在就是不要再继续打扰他，最好还是离开吧。
So he asked for Krishna's permission to leave, and Krishna didn't say anything, but Lord Brahma understood that it means okay, I can leave.
所以呢 ，Krishna 那个主 Brahma 的请求 ，Krishna 的允许，他可以离开。这时候呢 ，Krishna 还是就是保持沉默，什么都没说。这个时候呢，主 Brahma 就默认 Krishna 他是同意了，就是他决定要离开。
And how he understood, because, you know, I don't know in Chinese, but in English we have a saying, if someone says something and you don't say anything in return, it means you agree.
我不知道在中国情况是怎样的。在就是英语中有一句话呢说，如果某人说了某件事情的话呢，另外一个人他就默不作声，就相当于是默许了。
Silence means consent.
就说这个沉默呢，就是相当于是已经默许。
Of course, that may not always apply.
当然了，并不是说任何情况下都是这样的。
But at least in this incident, Lord Brahma understood it like this.
但是在这个例子当中呢，主 Brahma 就是认为 Krishna 的这种沉默就相当于他已经允许了。
That he can leave, because he's not saying no, so that means yes.
所以呢，他就觉得 Krishna 是已经默许了，他可以离开了，因为 Krishna 没有说这个不让他离开，没有说 no.
So another prayer, included in his prayers, which I'm going to post here. This is in the Krishna book, chapter 14.
另外一个呢，就是有关主 Brahma 的祈祷呢，也是在他的这个这些祈祷文当中，他在 Krishna Book 的第14章中有所提及。
This is Brahma's thought process.
这是主 Brahma 他的思考的过程。
Earlier he had prayed to Krishna.You know, maybe I can be born in Vrindavan as a dust, as a grass, and then the residents, they can walk on me.
在最开始的时候呢，主 Brahma 祈祷说，或许我可以祈祷能够投生为 Vrindavan 的一颗小草，这样的话呢， Vrindavan 的居民就可以踏践在我的头上，从我头上走过。
He was feeling the residents were so special that he was happy just to be a blade of grass where they could walk on him and he can receive their dust.
他呢就是理解到 Vrindavan 的居民是如此的特殊，所以呢他就祈祷情愿宁愿成为 Vrindavan 的一颗小草，这样呢 Vrindavan 的居民就可以从他头上经过。他就可以能够得到本达本这个居民莲花主下的尘土。
So Srila Prabhupada explains his thought process a bit more.
所以呢，圣文帕巴德呢就更多的解释了他的这个思考的这个过程。
That even if, but again, he asked this, but Krishna didn't say anything in response.
仍然就是他就是像 Krishna。就是请求祈祷这一点，但是呢 ，Krishna 也是，就是没有任何的反应。
And then Srila Prabhupada explains his thinking process more.
然后呢，圣人帕巴勒就更多的解释了主布拉玛呢他的思考的过程。
That even if I'm not fortunate enough to take birth in the forest of Vrindavan, maybe I can take birth outside the area of Vrindavan.
嗯，就是呢，主布拉玛他就继续祈祷说，如果我没有那么幸运可以投生到本达文的森林中，那么就情愿我让我能够投生在本达文森林之外的这些区域。
So when the residents leave Vrindavan to do things, maybe they go to Mathura or something like this, then at least at that time I can get the dust from their lotus feet.
这样的话呢，当文达湾的居民他们离开文达湾去到其他地方，像马图罗他们去做事情的时候呢，那么我就可以得到了，他们就可以从我头上经过，我就可以得到他们的这个莲花主下的尘土。
From this we can understand to be in Vrindavan is a great fortune, and as we many times hear, we cannot just go to Vrindavan by buying a ticket.
所以呢，我们可以理解到，在文达文就是能够居住在文达文是非常幸运的。就像我们经常所说的，一个人呢不能仅凭买一张机票就可以到文达文。
We may buy a ticket and we may go to Vrindavan or we may go to Mayapur, but what does going mean?
我们可能可以通过买一张机票去到文达文、玛雅普，但是我们就是说去文达文和玛雅普到底意味着什么呢
？Just like chanting Hare Krishna, we're chanting Hare Krishna, but what does it really mean to chant Hare Krishna？
就像念诵 Hare Krishna， 我们都在念诵 Hare Krishna， 但是念诵 Hare Krishna 到底真正的含义是什么呢
？It's not just making the noise。
并不只是发出噪音而已。
The holy name has to reveal himself.
这个圣名呢，必须要亲自揭示他自己。
And that happens when we chant without offense.
就是当我们毫无冒犯的念诵的时候呢，就是圣名才会向我们揭示他自己。
So similar for the holy dam, we might, you know, physically go there, but that doesn't.Necessarily mean we are there because the holy dam needs to reveal herself to us.
同样的，我们也可以就是说，我们的躯体在圣地，来到圣地，但是呢，这并不意味着我们就真正的置身于圣地，除非这个圣地亲自向我们揭示，我们才能够真正的来到圣地。
So Lord Brahma.He's Lord Brahma, remember, but he is thinking, well, maybe I'm not even fortunate enough to be a grass in Vrindavan.
大家要记住，他是主 Brahma， 但是呢，他却认为我可能也没有那么幸运可以投生为 Vrindavan 的一棵小草。
So just outside Vrindavan is also acceptable. Then I can get the dust from these devotees' feet.
于是呢，他就想啊，那即便我投生于 Vrindavan 之外的一片区域，那么我也是可以接受的，因为这样的话呢，我就可以得到 Vrindavan 居民莲花主下的尘土。
A number of years ago in your country, I was giving a talk. I don't remember where, but We were talking how we are all eternal servants of Krishna and we all have some eternal relationship with the Lord.
就是的几年之前呢我曾经有一个讲课也不记得具体是在哪里讲的就是呢当时提到了就是我们每一个人呢都是 Krishna 这个永恒的仆人跟 Krishna 都有着永恒的一种关系。
In China, it was in China.
是在中国。
So I said, you might be a cowherd boy, you might be a cow, you might be a tree, and you might be a grass.
我当时就提到了，就是你们有可能是牧牛童，也有可能是母牛，或者一棵树，或者一棵小草。
And when I said oh, you might be a grass, one devotee said, I don't want to be a grass.
当我提到你们在文达湾有可能就是一棵小草，那个枫叶呢就说，我可不想成为一棵小草。
What I want to be a grass for? Everyone steps on you.
那就如果你成为小草的话，每个人都踏在你的头上。
So he was seeing from a, you know, completely materialistic perspective.
所以他的这个想法呢是完全的物质的一种思维。
Here we have Lord Brahma.
现在呢是主 Brahma.
And he wants to be a grass.
他却想要成为一棵小草。
In Vrindavan.
成为 Vrindavan 的一棵小草。
And if not in Vrindavan, a little bit outside Vrindavan is also okay.
他就在想，如果真的不能投身为 Vrindavan 的一棵小草，那就在 Vrindavan 附近 Vrindavan 之外的地方也可以。
Even to be a grass in Vrindavan is a fortune we cannot imagine.
尽管投身为 Vrindavan 的一棵小草，都是我们无法想象的幸运。
You might remember Uddhava, Krishna's friend and, you know, like personal secretary.
你们大家可能还记得这个 Krishna 他的这个亲自的私人秘书 Uddhava。
In Mathura and Dwarka, he is Krishna's constant companion. Among all the Yadu dynasty, he is the most intimate with Krishna.
就是呢，不管在 Mathura 呢，还是这个Dwarka， 他呢都是在这个 Yadu 王朝当中 Krishna 的最亲密的一直的这种同伴。
And as you may know, Krishna also sent him to Vrindavan to deliver some message of, you know.To the residents there.
你们大家可能还会记得，就是 Krishna 总是会派 Uddhava 去给 Vrindavan 的居民捎信，就是告诉他有关 Krishna 的这个信息。
And after experiencing their love for Krishna, Uddhava also prayed to be a grass in Vrindavan.
在体验了 Vrindavan 的居民对 Krishna 的这种奉爱之情之后呢？乌达瓦本人也想投身为文达文的一棵小草。
And there's one place around Govardhan Hill where it is said that he exists there as a grass.
就是在这个文达文的高瓦丹山附近呢，有一片地方呢，就是说是乌达瓦就真的是以小草的形式，就是在那停在文达文。
So we don't need to think being a grass is a lesser position.
所以呢，我们不要认为就是这个投身为文达湾的这棵小草，这个地位就非常的低等。
All the great sages and demigods, you know, even to be a grass in Vrindavan is not such an easy thing.
对于那些就是这个圣人以及半神人他们来讲的话呢，就是即便就是投身为文达文的一棵小草也都不是一件容易的事情，都是非常幸运的。
Why? Because the dust of the devotees there will fall on one's grass head.
为什么呢？因为这个那里的奉献者的这个尘土会就是踩在你的这个小草的这个头上。
So this is Lord Brahma's one part of his prayer. At the end, he says this at the end of his prayers.
所以呢，就是在主 Brahma 他祈祷的最后呢，他就提到了这一点。
And then soon after that, he leaves.
然后在这之后呢，他就离开了，很快离开了。
And Krishna continues to search for the calves and the boys.
Krishna 呢，他就继续去寻找他的这个牛犊以及那些男孩们。
So by this time, the Vishnu forms of the calves and boys had all disappeared.
这个时候呢，就是那些牛犊啊、牧牛童，他的这个 Vishnu 的形体就已经消失不见了。
You may remember that at the beginning of this pastime, Yogamaya covered the original calves and cowherd boys, and they remained on this in exactly the same place for 1 year.
你们大家可能还记得，就是在这个逍遥时光开始的时候呢，这个优格玛雅它覆盖了这个原初的那一套的牧牛童和这个牛犊，他们呢就在那待了一年的时间。
Exactly the same place.
就是他们在原地，同一个地方。
Brahma had taken some illusory calves and boys. He couldn't take the originals.
就 Brahma 拿走的是那个就是虚幻的这一套，他并没有拿走原初的那一套，就是牛犊和牧牛童。
And the ones that he took, you know, the Maya calves and cowherd boys, they also disappeared. So now we only have the original set that are left.
而主 Brahma 所偷走的就是那个Maya, 就是所变换的这个牛犊和牧牛童，他们也消失不见了。所以呢，最终只剩下原初的那一套牛犊和牧牛童。
And they were in exactly the same place as they were before.
他们呢就在他们就是之前所待的那同一个地方。
So by this time, Krishna found the calves and brought them back to the boys who were still on the bank of the Jamuna.
所以呢，就是这个时候呢 ，Krishna 他就找到了这个牛犊，把他们带回到这个亚穆纳河岸边。这些牧牛童们，他们也正是在这个地方。
You may remember, they were in the middle of taking lunch.
大家可能还会记起，就是他们其实正在荣耀午餐呢。
And they noticed, oh, the calves have gone. And Krishna said, no, no, don't worry, I'll go and find them.
然后呢，他们发现这个牛犊就是不见了。然后呢 ，Krishna 就安抚他们说，不要担心，我将会就是把他们给找回来。
So, although it was 1 year later.
尽管就是一年之后。
The boys were still taking lunch.
这些男孩仍然在吃午餐呢。
The original set of boys were still taking lunch.
就是原初的那些牧牛童，这些男孩们，他们仍然在就餐呢，吃午餐呢。
Exactly the same.
就像一年之前一模一样。
And Krishna brought back the calves.
Krishna 就带回了这些小牛犊。
Because he left in the middle of lunch to look for the calves, so now he brought them back.
因为他是在这个午餐当中的时候呢，他去寻找这些小牛犊。现在呢，他把这些小牛犊给带回来了。
And the boy said, "Oh, you came back so quickly."
然后这些男孩就说，哎呦，你很快就回来了嘛。
We haven't eaten anything. We were just waiting for you to come back.
我们什么还没有吃呢，我们就在等你回来一起就餐呢。
And you have come back so quickly.
而且你这么快就回来了。
Right, so this is Vrindavan.
So this is Vrindavan.
And Yoga Maya.
就是 Yoga Maya 的这个作用。
So time can expand and time can shrink.
所以呢，在 Vrindavan 这个时间呢，可以得以延展，时间呢也可以缩短。
One moment can seem like 1 year, and 1 year can seem like one moment.
就是一刻一个片刻，可能就像一年，一年呢也恰是一个片刻一样。
We all know from the Shikshastakam prayers, I think it's the verse number 7.
我们也知道在这个八线规的这个第七师节当中
，where Lord Chaitanya prays, then in separation from you, a moment.Can seem like 12 years or more.
就是呢，主菜的念马哈帕布呢，他就是祈祷说，就是一刻就像是一季一样，十二年。
Right? What's the Chinese translation for that?
Yeah, 一刻就像胜过一季。
So that's an example of a moment expanding into appearing like 12 years or more. And this is an example of 1 year decreasing, seeming like a moment.
所以呢，就是在主菜丹尼亚的那个八仙归当中呢，就描述说这个一刻就像是这个一季，这个十二年。那么在这里呢，也是同样的类似的，就是一年呢，就是它缩短，就像是一个片刻而已。
Like we, you may have remembered, the Rasa Lila pastime of the Lord. It has not appeared yet, but it comes later in the Bhagavatam.
就是呢，你们就是如果还记得这个 Rasa 之舞的这个小小时光的话呢，就是现在我们还没有提到，但是是在圣殿伯迦瓦坛的后面的这个篇章中。
And the Rasa dance, of course, took one night, basically, you know, maybe 5-6 hours.
所以呢，就是这个 Rasa 之舞呢，其实也就是一个晚上嘛，大概就是5-6个小时。
But it explains.In the purport, that it seemed like a day of Lord Brahma.
但是呢，在那个要旨中就解释说，这个 Rasa 之舞呢，就是相当于主 Brahma 的这个一天的一个时间。
So that's an example of time expanding.
所以呢，这就是这个时间得以延展的一个例子。
You may have heard in the same way that Vrindavan can expand and shrink.
同样的 ，Vrindavan 本身也可以扩展，它也可以缩减。
We know to go around the Vrindavan area takes about 1 month, but Krishna would go to many of the forests all in one day.
我们大家都知道，如果大家要是就是漫游这个 Vrindavan 这些地区的话呢，可能要花上一个月的时间。但是呢，就是 Krishna 他即便走遍这些 Vrindavan 的森林，他只需要花一天的时间。
So from his home, for example, in Nandagram to Govardhan Hill, maybe it's a 10-mile or 15-mile walk.
就是呢，比如说从这个 Nandagram 去这个 Govardhan 山的话呢。可能走着的话呢，就是10-15公里的这么一段距离。
And that's a long time. How long would that take? That'll take a few hours, at least.
这真的是一段路程，你要是花上好几个小时的话，你才能够给走完。
But Krishna would go there and many other places every day.
但是呢 ，Krishna 去那还有其他地方。他几乎每一天他都会去到这些不同的地方。
So from his home to Govardhan Hill, maybe half an hour.
所以呢，他从他的家到这个 Govardhan 山可能就只需要花半个小时。
And how does that happen? Because the holy dam shrinks.
这是怎么发生的呢？是因为这个圣地它同时在这个缩减。
To facilitate Krishna's travels, so it doesn't take so long.
他为了能够为 Krishna 的这个这个行走，这个提供这个便利，这样的话呢，他就不需要花那么长的时间，他就可以走完。
So here we have examples of the time expanding and time shrinking.
所以呢，在这个例子当中呢，也是这个时间得以延长，时间得以缩短的这个例子。
So although it was 1 year.When Krishna brought back the calves, the boy said, "Oh, so quickly."
所以呢，尽管是过去了一年的时间，但是呢，当 Krishna 把这些小牛犊给找回来的时候呢，这些牧牛头们就说：“哎呦，你怎么这么快啊？又把他们找回来了。”
And normally, if food is 1 year old, you know, it's not very pleasant to eat.
而且如果食物放了一年的话呢，再吃起来可不那么可口了。
But in this incident, although it was 1 year, everything was as tasty as it was in the beginning.
但是呢，在这个小小时光当中，虽然过了一年，但是呢，这些食物一切都品味起来如那个原初的那种滋味，美味可口。
So after Krishna brought back the calves, then they continued and finished having their lunch.
所以呢，在 Krishna 把这些小牛犊带回之后呢，他们就继续他们的这个野餐，一直到结束。
And then they return to later in the day, they return to the Vrindavan village.
之后晚一些时候呢，他们就回到了文达文的村庄。
So what is the anarta or what is the obstacle illustrated by this pastime?
所以呢，这个逍遥时光它代表或者说是象征着什么样的这个 anatta 或者是障碍呢？
It has two parts.
有两部分。
Firstly, one of the anattas is we cannot.Or we should not try to understand the absolute truth with our own intelligence.
第一点呢，就是我们不应该以我们自己的这种智慧想要去理解绝对真理。
Like Lord Brahma, we spoke about, no? He had this aroha panta.
就像这个主 Brahma, 他呢就是想要通过这个 aroha panta.
Panta.
Panta,
aroha. Yes. Aroha, right, means ascending knowledge, speculative knowledge.
就是他想通过这个自己的推测，这种自下而上的这种方式去理解知识。
So if we depend on this kind of knowledge to understand Krishna, that's an obstacle.
所以如果我们想要通过这种方式去理解Krishna 的话呢，那么就是一种障碍。
And many people, as we know, maybe even some of us, right? We try to understand depending upon our own intelligence.
有很多人，包括我们自己，有时候呢，我们就试图想要用自己的智慧去理解。
So this is an obstacle.
所以呢，这是一种障碍。
What does it say? I think there's one prayer in the Brahma Samhita that one may speculate for millions of years, but still one will not be able to understand the Lord or even approach the effulgence coming from his toenails.
所以呢，就是在 Brahma Samhita 中有一个祈祷，就是说一个人如果他这个心智推敲，即便成千上百万年，一个人也无法能够理解主，甚至都无法去接近由主的这个脚趾头所发出的这种这种泛光。
There must be a mood of submission, surrender, and service.
所以呢，必须带以谦卑的心态去臣服于主，并且呢，为他去做出服务。
Of course, with our intelligence, maybe we can learn the theoretical knowledge.
当然了，就是用我们的这个智慧，我们可以去理解这个哲学的这个知识。
No, theoretical.
就是理论上的这些知识。
But realized knowledge, that requires surrender and faith.
但是呢，这个觉悟的知识呢，它就需要我们的臣服和信心。
Again, like Lord Brahma, he was trying to understand, but he couldn't understand anything.
就像猪巴马，他想要理解，但是呢，他却没能如愿。
At a certain point, he understood that I'm trying to understand, it's not working.
所以在某一个点上呢，他就理解到，我试图通过我自己的智慧想要去理解，但是呢，这种方法是不行的。
That's aroha panta, ascending knowledge, trying to figure it out ourselves.
就是aroha panta 就是说我们想要通过我们自己想要去推测出这个绝对真理。
And then Krishna revealed to him when he understood the uselessness of his own endeavor, then Krishna revealed, and then Lord Brahma could understand something.
就直到他理解的通过他自己的努力，这个完全是无用的。那么他这个时候呢，就是 Krishna 向他揭示了，他才能够理解一点。
In a similar way, sometimes, you know, all of us, we have questions about the philosophy and this and that, and sometimes we ask, and sometimes we get the answer, sometimes we can understand the answer, sometimes we cannot understand the answer.
同样呢，我们自己呢，有时候也是在这个哲学方面呢，有时候我们会问很多的问题，有时候我们得到这个答案呢，有时候理解，可能有时候就不理解。
And we should understand it's not just a matter of head, it's also a matter of heart.
我们也要理解啊，就是我们在理解方面呢，不光是这个头脑的一个事情，而且是有关是内心的一个觉悟的一个事情。
The understanding the philosophy of the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, it's not just a process of the head, it's also a process of the heart.
所以要理解到来自于博伽梵歌以及圣殿博伽瓦坛中的哲学呢，这不光是头脑的一个过程，而且是这个内心的一个经历，一个过程。
And the heart becomes properly prepared through humble service, surrender, and faith.
所以呢，这个内心呢，就通过你的这个谦卑的去皈依去臣服，以及信心就是让你的内心做好准备。
Then when we hear the theory knowledge, then some understanding will come.
这样的话呢，当我们去理解这些理论的知识的时候呢，我们就会有所理解觉悟。
The knowledge is revealed. We cannot demand to understand it. It has to be revealed by the blessing of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra.
所以呢，我们不能就是说自己要求这些知识能够向我们揭示，只有就是这个咕噜萨杜沙士水就是他们给了我们这样祝福的时候呢我们就是他们向我们亲自揭示这个知识了，我们才能够理解啊。
And that blessing comes again from humility, from service, from surrender, from faith.
同样这个祝福就是它来自于我们的这个谦卑，我们的这个服务，我们的臣服，我们的信心。
So this is one of this Leela, this is one of the obstacles it represents, this, the dependence upon one's intelligence to understand.
所以呢，这也代表了就是我们灵修当中的一个障碍，就是说一个人试图通过他的智慧想要去理解这个绝对真理。
So another aspect, another obstacle is like Lord Brahma, knowledge of the Lord's opulence was an obstacle for him to understand knowledge of the Lord's sweetness.
另外一个障碍呢，就是就是有关主的这个富裕的这些知识呢，它会成为去理解主的甜美的这方面的一个障碍。
He had this conception that, you know, the Supreme Lord Narayan is opulent, powerful, you know, and visually you can see this in the form of Lord Narayan or Lord Vishnu.
就是呢，对主 Brahma 来说呢，他的概念就是这个主 Narayana 他的这个就是充满着这个富裕，充满着这个力量，就是呢不管是 Narayana 还是 Vishnu 的这个形象呢，你都可以亲自的看到的。
So when he saw this little boy in Vrindavan with food in the left hand, he couldn't understand.
所以当他看到就是 Vrindavan 的一个小男孩，他左手还拿着这个食物的时候，他就不能理解了。
The knowledge of the Lord's opulence is an obstacle to properly understanding Krishna in Vrindavan.
所以呢，就是有关主的富裕方面的这些知识呢，会成为你去理解 Vrindavan 的 Krishna 甜美的这方面的一种障碍。
Of course, the first obstacle about depending upon one's mental intelligence, that's an obstacle in conditioned life.
当然了，就是说，我们所谈到的第一点障碍，就是一个人试图通过他的心智的这个智慧，去理解这个真理。当然，这是一个受限的一个状态。
But the second obstacle, knowledge of the Lord's opulence as an obstacle, this is more in, you could say, in a liberated state. So it's a different category of obstacle.
所以呢，第二种呢，就是说，理解主的富裕这方面的知识会成为理解主的甜美性的一个障碍。那么也可以说，这是处在解脱阶段的一个障碍。所以说，这两种障碍它是属于不同范畴的。
They're different levels of obstacles. It's not all the same.
他们是属于两个不同层面的这个障碍。
Because now, as we know, we are all told to cultivate knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
就比如说我们现在都被教导说我们要培养有关至尊主的有关他这个作为至尊人格守神这方面的知识。
His opulence, his power, and you know, we are taught to cultivate this understanding.
所以呢，我们被教导说我们要去培养有关主的这个富裕和主的力量这方面的这个知识，我们去理解到主的这方面。
At the same time, we are also taught that our goal is to go to Vrindavan and serve Krishna's associates there.
同时呢，我们也被教导说，我们的这个目标呢是要回到这个 Vrindavan， 能够去服务 Krishna 的这些同友们。
Right now, we want to cultivate this devotion as exhibited by the residents of Vrindavan. This is Rupa Goswami teaches us this in the Nectar of Devotion.
这呢就是说是也要去培养有关 Vrindavan 的居民他们的这种奉爱之情。Rupa Goswami 他在奉爱的甘露中就也给了我们这样的教导。
But at the same time, we're taught to understand or develop, cultivate knowledge of Krishna's potency and his powers and opulence and things like this.
但同时呢，我们也被教导说，应该培养有关 Krishna 他的这些能量、他的力量以及他的富裕这方面的知识。
So it seems like a bit of a contradiction according to this discussion that we're having.
看起来就是针对我们刚才所讨论过的那个要点来说，在我们身上这一点好像是有一点矛盾的。
Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there, knowledge of the Lord's opulence could result or is an obstacle to understand the Lord's sweetness of Vrindavan.
因为 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 曾说过，就是有关主的这个富裕这方面的知识，可能就成为理解主的甜美这方面知识的一种障碍。
So in our conditioned state, we're certainly taught to understand the Lord's opulence.
当然了，在我们目前受限的这个状态下呢，我们是被教导说应该去培养有关主的这个富裕方面的知识。
If we don't do that, then we have the risk of becoming a sahajiya.
就如果我们目前受限的阶段不这样做的话呢，我们就有这个倾向会成为 sahajiya。
You may have heard that term. I have spoken about it before.
大家可能听到过这个词，我之前是有提到过。
A sahajiya is someone who makes the higher things very cheap and easy.
Sahajiya 呢，他把那些崇高的那些事情看得非常的廉价，看得非常的低等。
So that's a sahajiya.
所以这就是 sahajiya 的含义。
That because they don't have a proper understanding of Krishna's opulence and power, and they just sort of think he's an ordinary kind of cowherd boy, and it's very easy to obtain him, and, you know, etc. They just make the whole thing very cheap.
Mm. 因为呢，这些人他们没有有关主的这些能量、主的力量的这些富裕的这些知识，所以呢，他们就只认为 Krishna 就是一个很普通的一个牧牛童而已。那么我们想要就是获得 Krishna 是非常容易的，他们就把一切都变得非常的廉价、轻而易举。
Right, that's why you probably have heard, right? We have nine cantos of the Bhagavatam before we come to the tenth canto.
这也是为什么就是在第十篇圣殿巴加瓦旦之前我们都有这个整个九篇的篇幅。
And what do these nine cantos describe?
这九篇当中都谈了什么内容呢?
The opulence, power of the absolute truth.
他就谈到了绝对真理的他的富裕以及力量
and his different incarnations, Lord Narasimhadev so powerful, Lord Vamanadev so powerful, and after all of that, then we come to Krishna's ninth canto pastimes.
Tenth canto, sorry, yes.就是呢就是在前九篇当中呢我们也谈到了有关 Krishna 他的这些化身像非常有力量这个主尼辛哈 Vamanadeva 等等这些化身就是在谈完这些之后呢最终我们才谈到了就是第十篇
So this all prepares us to understand Krishna is not just an ordinary boy like Lord Brahma thoughtLord Brahma thought Krishna is just an ordinary boy. At least he thought it seems like that.
所以呢，就是所有的前面的这个九篇呢，就为我们就是打下了这种知识的这种基础，让我们理解到 Krishna 他并不是一个普普通通的一个小男孩的一个形象。但是在主 Brahma 当时在他看到 Krishna 这个牧牛童形象的时候呢。他至少他觉得 Krishna 看起来的就像是一个普通的一个小男孩一样。
And remember, he wasn't the only demigod who made that mistake.
你们大家要记住，主 Brahma 可不是犯这个错误的唯一的一位半神人。
Others did also. Right? Later we're going to hear about Indra.
其他人也犯过类似的错误，就比如说后面我们会听到主因者。
So we might think, oh, no, I'll never misunderstand.
然后呢你们可能会说不我从来不会有这种误解。
But the fact remains, Lord Brahma, Indra, and other sages, they become confused by these leelas of the Lord.
但是呢事实并非如此即便是主因者还有那些圣人们他们呢都曾经就是无法去理解主的这方面。
They become confused about Krishna's form, his ordinary form.
他们呢为 Krishna 的这个普普通通的这个形象感到困惑，变得迷惑了。
So in our conditioned state, certainly we are taught to understand the supreme nature of the Lord, and then that will.In that context, then we can look at Krishna's Vrindavan Leela and his Vrindavan form and have proper understanding.
所以呢，因此，在我们目前受限的状态下呢，我们需要去理解主的这种至尊的这种本性。只有在这个前提之下呢，我们才可以就是说去理解主的这个在 Vrindavan 的逍遥时光以及它的这种形体，这样的话呢，我们对此才会有确切的一个理解。
But once we attain perfection, whenever that happens, once we attain perfection, prayojana, then we can't have that understanding. Not if we go to Vrindavan.
但是呢，就是不管什么时候，一旦我们达到了这个完美。 Prayojana， 然后这个时候呢，我们就是可以就是真正的去理解到这一点。
No, then we have to give up this understanding of the Lord's opulence.
啊，那个时候呢，我们才可以放弃主的，就是他的有关富裕这方面的一个理解。
But not before that.
但是呢，在这之前，我们就不应该就是忽视去理解主的这个富裕这方面。
So this is the end of this pastime.
所以呢，这就是有关这个逍遥时光，我们就讲到这儿。
So we'll finish here.
我们呢就是今天就讲到这里。
And I see there's a couple of questions.
看到有一些问题。Yeah, we still have some questions from last lecture.
Okay.
上一周的问题我们先来看一下。王文言，有时候特别累就会唠叨家人，这样的唠叨是不是不利于培养谦卑？
What was that?
So sometimes I feel very tired, so I will constantly chatter to my family member. So this kind of chant, it is not good to cultivate the humility. Constantly talk and talk to the family member, didn't stop. So this is not good.
I'm not sure how that relates to the pastime.
我不知道你的这个问题跟我们的主题怎么相关。
You know, discussion about family interactions, how we should do, what we should do, what we shouldn't do. It's another topic.
就有关我们跟家人之间的交往方面，我们应该做什么，不应该做什么，这些其实跟我们的这个主题不太相关，那是另外的话题。
But, generally, just be nice.
通常的话呢，你就对家人比较友善一些。
Don't impose yourself.
也不要就是过多的去袒露自己。
But for other, you know, you can speak with others because it's not exactly, again, related to our topic.
当然了。就是你的这个主题呢，跟我们的讲课的内容不是很相关。
And about humility, just be nice.
有关你提到这个谦卑方面呢，我们就只需要就是保持这个友好。
Third verse of the Shikshastakam.
这是八信规的第三十节。
And be nice.
就对你的家人保持这个友善。
Not only family, to everyone.
就是不光是对家人，对每一个人。
And be nice to yourself also.
而且呢，要善待自己。
Be nice to yourself.
要善待自己。
Okay, next.
下一个问题是 Radha Priya 顶拜跑步，感谢翻译和组织的甜美服务。 Brahma 在知道自己犯错后向主承认错误并献出祷文，请问跑步，我们也经常被 Maya 迷惑，是不是也需要学习 Brahma 承认错误并献出祷文呢？
Yes.
是的。
Yes, we always want to be praying.
我们就是也就是需要总是去祈祷。
For forgiveness, for understanding, for inspiration, for guidance, we always want to be praying.
所以呢，我们为了能够就是做到宽恕，为了能够去理解， 为了能够获得这种灵感，获得这种指导，我们都需要就是一直在祈祷。
And as we know, Vandanam is one of the nine practices of Bhakti Yoga, right? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam.
我们知道在九种不同的奉爱服务当中，其中有一种是 Vandana, 也是其中的一种奉爱服务。
So we always want to be praying, whether it's for forgiveness, whether it's for guidance, for inspiration.
所以呢，不管我们想要能够做的宽恕，想要去获得灵感，获得这种指导，我们都需要祈祷。
And as Lord Brahma, right? He really understood his big mistake.
就像主 Brahma, 他是真的意识到了他犯了一个大的错误。
And he prayed.
所以呢，他就祈祷。
For forgiveness, and then he offered some glorification also.
所以呢，他就是祈祷能够得到宽恕，然后呢，他也做出了一些就是荣耀主的一些祷文。
So we always want to pray for these reasons, these and other reasons.
当然了，我们也可以就是为了主巴玛同样的一个理由来去祈祷。而且也可以为了其他的理由去祈祷。
And we can have our own prayers, or we can just repeat the prayers of the great devotees from the songbook or from the Bhagavatam also, right? Lord Brahma's prayers, for example, or the prayers of Queen Kunti. So many prayers are there in the Bhagavatam.
我们呢也可以献上自己的这个祷文。当然了，我们也可以去学习伟大奉献者的他们的祈祷，就包括这些祷文中的，包括圣典薄伽瓦坛中的祈祷。就比如说这个主 Brahma 以及 Kunti 皇后的这些祷文。
But yes, we always want to be praying.
是的，我们就总是想要去祈祷。
Not only for forgiveness, but for guidance and inspiration and other things.
不光是就是能够得到这种宽恕，而且呢，我们也就是为了能够获得灵感，获得这种指导，我们都需要去祈祷。
Okay, next.
下一个问题是潘查塔的吧 ？Brahma 挑战 Krishna 的权威，这种心态正确吗
？Say.
So Brahma challenged the authority of Krishna.
Yes.
Is this attitude correct?
No.
不正确。
That's what the pastime is about.
这就是这个逍遥时光所讲述的内容。
Of course it's not correct.
当然它是不正确的。
And that's what this whole pastime is about, and how Krishna corrected him.
就整个逍遥时光都在谈论这一点，所以呢，就 Krishna 最终纠正了他。
But as we spoke last week, sometimes Krishna arranges for these very great personalities to do these things for his pastimes.
但是呢，我们上周提到了，就是Krishna 有时候他会做出一些安排，就让那些伟大的人物他们能够就是说。参与就是犯一些错误，成为他逍遥时光的一部分。
So the Lord can fulfill many purposes with one incident.
Krishna 可以通过一件事情可以实现很多个目标。
So like this incident, he corrected Lord Brahma, right? He gave the opportunity for the gopis to have Krishna as their son and the cows.So many purposes he fulfilled in this one incident.
所以呢 ，Krishna 他又通过这其中的一个事件呢，他既纠正了主 Brahma， 他同时呢也是满足了那些牧牛童，那些牧牛姑娘想要把他当成儿子这么一个心愿，包括那些母牛就是想要就是把他作为小牛犊的这么一个愿望。
So.This is Krishna's kindness, that even someone's mistake, he uses it for his pleasure also.
所以呢，这就是 Krishna 他的这个友善之处， 就是他可以用一个人的这个错误这个缺点犯的错，然后呢可以把它当成是他进行这个逍遥时光的一个原因。
And at the same time, he corrects that devotee. He corrects that devotee also.
同时呢 ，Krishna 也会纠正这位奉献者。
And helps them grow even more and have more understanding.
帮助他们成长，有更多的这个理解。
As he did with Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma is very thankful, although he is feeling very guilty on the one hand.But on the other hand, he's feeling great ecstasy because Krishna revealed something to him.
就像 Krishna 他对主 Brahma 做的这件事情一样，一方面来说呢，主 Brahma 他确实感到非常的内疚，同时呢，主 Brahma 他也是充满着感恩之心的，非常的感谢 Krishna， 他就处在这种极乐当中，为他自己能够更多的理解了 Krishna。
He was able to understand Vrindavan Krishna and the residence and appreciate the residence of Vrindavan. He didn't have that before, but Krishna has revealed that now, and he's in great ecstasy.
他呢为他能够理解到这个 Vrindavan 以及Vrindavan 居民的这种荣耀，他感到非常的极乐。他之前呢就从来没有就是并不理解到他们的这个荣耀。
So, yes, next.
下个问题就是我们这周提的问题，看一下，也是潘加塔的瓦帕布，顶拜帕布，顶拜奉献者，主 Krishna 扮演各种角色，扮演的非常好。我们每个人也有不同的角色，我们如何才能扮演好自己的角色呢？
I didn't understand.
So, obeisance is to Prabhu and also to devotees. Lord Krishna, he played his own role very well. As ourselves, everyone of us have different roles to play. So, how can we play our roles very well?
Praying.
我们要祈祷。
That's, we spoke a little bit before. We pray. We pray not only for forgiveness, but we pray for inspiration. We pray for guidance.
就像我前面提到的，我们不仅祈祷能够得到这个宽恕原谅，我们同时祈祷能够得到这种灵感，得到指导。
And then we consult with close devotee friends about, you know, what we should do. What is our appropriate part to play.
我们也可以去向那些比较亲近的奉献者去询问，就是我们扮演的这个角色是什么呢？我们应该怎么演好我们的角色呢？
And we use our common sense.
而且同时我们运用我们的常识。
Because we are responsible. It's not that we just...Certainly, we depend on Krishna and we take guidance and we consult with other devotees, but ultimately, we ourselves are responsible to play our particular part.
就是其实总结而言呢，我们都需要就是能够自己承担起这个责任，能够扮演好自己的角色。我们也可能就是向其他的一些奉献者去询问，去获得这种指导。那么最终呢，我们需要自己就是承担起这个相应的责任。
And sometimes it takes some trial and error. Some mistake. Sometimes we learn from the mistake. Well, like Lord Brahma. Like Lord Brahma, he's learning from his mistakes.
有时候呢，我们甚至需要从我们的错误当中去学习。
Like Lord Brahma, he's
就像主 Brahma 一样，他呢也是就是犯了错，然后得到纠正，他从中学到了。
So in the course of our everyday life or service, sometimes we make mistakes, and if we have the right mood, then we learn and we get better and so on.
就像。就是在我们的这个日常生活，在我们的这个服务当中呢， 我们也是不断的去学习去成长，然后这样的话呢，我们就可以让自己变得更好。
So by prayer, by consulting with close devotee friends and our own common sense.
所以呢，总之是通过这个祈祷，通过我们向身边亲近的这个奉献的去咨询询问，以及通过这个常识这几者结合。
And do, we just try our best. And if we make mistakes, then we learn and we improve. Like Lord Brahma has done here.
所以呢我们就只是去实践，然后呢我们尽努力做到最好，然后呢并且尽管我们可能会犯错误，但是呢我们从错误中去学习，去改善，去成长，就像这里的主 Brahma 的例子一样。
OK, next.
OK, Sati Madaji, 感恩法布的甜美讲述，请问我们对于主富裕的理解以及普人的心态的培养，会不会让我们被主的富裕所吸引，而成为我们发展与主其他关系的障碍呢？
Maybe.
可能。
But remember, there's no problem to have that kind of attraction to the Lord.
但是呢就是我们受到就是主的那方面的吸引的话呢，其实并没有什么问题。
We all have our particular relationship with Krishna, so for some of us, it might be that.
就是呢，我们每个人跟 Krishna 都有着不同的关系。对于我们中的某些人来说，可能，就是其中的这种关系。
Maybe some of us will be attracted to these opulent features of the Lord in Vaikuntha or Dwarka.
就是有的奉献的可能他们就是会受到主的在这个 Vaikuntha 或者是 Dwarka 的他的这种富裕的吸引。
And that's fine. There's certainly nothing wrong with that.
而且这也蛮好的，就是没有任何的这个不好的之处。
But that doesn't, so even, let's say that is the case. For some of us, you know, that might be the relationship we have with the Lord. We're attracted to his opulent form and such and such. But still, like Uddhava, right, he's in Dwarka. So but he has great attraction for Vrindavan still.
就是呢，对于某些奉献者来说呢，由于他们跟主的这种关系，可能就是会受到主的这种富裕的这个吸引，这一点是无可厚非的。但是呢，其他的一些奉献呢，就比如说这个乌道啊，就是尽管他在那个杜瓦嘎，他仍然受到这个 Krishna 在 Vrindavan 的这个甜美的这个吸引。
But he's in Dwarka.
但是呢，他却是在杜瓦嘎。
He's not exactly in Vrindavan. He has a different, or Narada Muni. Narada Muni, he is a Dwarka devotee. He is, you know, the opulent feature of the Lord. But he still understands and appreciates Vrindavan Krishna. But his mood is something different.
再比如这个 Narada Muni, 他也是在这个 Dwarka 的。就是他理解 Krishna 在这个文达文所上演的这些逍遥时光。
But his mood is opulent.
但是呢，他的这个心态呢，也是就是这种以富裕的这种就是崇拜主的这种富裕，以这种敬畏的这种心态。
So there are all different categories of devotees like this.
所以呢，就是有不同范畴的这个不同类型的奉献者。
And they, as we all know, they might have different moods, and we'll have our particular mood.
就是我们也都知道这些不同的范畴的这些奉献者呢，也都有不同的这个心态。我们其实大家都有着不同的一种心态。
And gradually, you know, when the time is right and we are ready, it will be revealed more clearly.
当时机成熟、恰当的时候呢。就是我们就会被揭示。
非常清晰的就会知道。
And yeah, Rupa Goswami talks about this a lot. So we can read the Nectar of Devotion, chapter 14, 15. Is it? No, chapter 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19. Talks about this a lot.
就是 Rupa Goswami 他在《奉爱的甘露》一书中，就是十四、十五、十六、十七、十八、十九章中，都谈到了这一点，就是我们可以通过阅读这些篇章来了解更多的内容。
And in other places, but in these chapters 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19, then he gives a general introduction to this particular topic.
当然了，在其他的地方可能也有相关的一个论述。但是呢，在他的这个《奉爱的甘露》一书中的十五、十六、十七、十八、十九当中呢，他就有专门对这一主题进行讲述。
So things will be revealed at the right time. What exactly it is?
就是时机成熟恰当的时候呢，我们会被揭示，就是到底。就是跟 Krishna 之间的这种关系是怎样的。
In the meantime, we pray and we cultivate the right understanding about all of these things.
在这个过程当中呢，我们就是可以通过这个祈祷，通过能够培养起恰当的一个理解。
好。
我们看。下一题 Lalita.
That's a long question.
Yeah, Lalita. 感谢帕布美好的讲课，感谢甜美的翻译主持。有一个很受困扰的问题，困扰我很久。我清楚看别人的缺点不好，不光看别人的缺点，也同样看到自身很多的不足和缺点。尽管很想竭尽全力的去欣赏周围的奉献者，也欣赏自己，但是在日常生活中跟奉献者相处的时候，总是不由自主的反映出来一些负面的情绪和负能量。请问帕布，要想变得很积极，很欣赏周围的奉献者，很想与奉献者保持好的关系，但是做出来的事情总是不如人意，这样很影响我跟奉献者之间的关系，自己的心意也受到打扰，这是什么原因造成的？怎样改善这种情况的发生？恳请帕布仁慈的指导，感谢你的仁慈 ，Hare Krishna。
Well, we are conditioned souls.
我们都是受条件限制的灵魂。
So to overcome our conditioned habits.Takes time.
要克服我们受限的这些习惯的话，是需要花时间的。
On the one hand, as she says, on the one hand, she wants to appreciate devotees, and she knows she should appreciate devotees, but on the other hand, she's not always able to do it, and she sees the negative things.
就像你所提到的，就是其实你也是非常想要去欣赏奉献者，你也知道应该去欣赏奉献者，但是呢，你也是感觉到不能够总能够做到这一点。
And this is disturbing her on in some way.
而且呢，这在某种程度上也打扰了你。
Is that right, Yamuna Priya? More or less, that's what she's saying.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what to do about it?So, yeah.
Also, what's a reason for that?
Yeah. So the reason is our conditioned nature. That's the reason.
这原因就是我们受限的一个状态。
And we have these conditioned habits, you know, that we have been cultivating for many years, looking at other people's faults or criticizing, blaming. These habits we have been cultivating for a long time. This is part of our conditioned nature.
所以呢，这个原因就在于我们这个受限的这些习性，我们已经那么多年，我们总是想要去挑别人的错，然后去批评、去抱怨他人，那么这也是我们受限的一个本性。
So overcoming our conditioning is not always so easy.
所以呢，要跨越我们这个受限的一个状态，并不是那么轻而易举的。
But we keep trying.
但是呢，我们仍然需要不断的努力尝试。
And as we say, you know, you win some, you lose some.
像我们经常所说的，我们可能就是会取得某些小小的胜利，但是呢，我们也会失败。
So hopefully.Sometimes we are able to do, sometimes we are not able to do. But hopefully over time, we'll be able to do more and fail less in this particular area.
所以呢，我们有我们可以就是做到的地方，然后呢，我们也有失败的做不到的地方。所以呢，希望通过就是我们的这个不断的努力呢，就是总有那么一天。我们可以在这些方面呢，我们可以更多的就是取得这些成功，失败的更少一些。
And we have to be mindful, right? We have to be mindful, not mechanical. We have to be mindful in what we do and check ourselves also.
而且呢，我们也需要非常的就是。专注认真的就是对待我们在做的事情，我们也需要经常的去反省，去核对，就是我们做的事情到底是否对的。我们不能总是机械的。
We have to cultivate this, not just think it's going to happen automatically.
我们需要不断的去培养它不是就是一蹴而就的。
And check the mind. We have to, you know, with our spiritual understanding. And from her question, it's clear that she has the basic spiritual understanding about this. But maybe sometimes the mind overcomes that. And then she, you know, looks at negative things and such and such.
其实从你的这个问题的表述当中就可以理解到你是有一些灵性的理解的，但是呢，有可能就是有时候这个心已占上风了，然后呢，他就他占据了我们的这么一个主导地位，然后我们就无法去克服掉我们的这些问题，消极的这些一面。
That's why Krishna says in chapter 6 of the Bhagavad Gita, the mind can be the best friend or the worst enemy.
这就是为什么 Krishna 在《宝伽梵歌》第六章中说，我们的心意既可以成为我们的这个最大的这个朋友，也可以成为最大的敌人。
So it takes time to overcome our conditioned nature, but we keep trying.
所以呢，要跨越我们受限的一个状况是需要花一点时间的，但是呢，我们需要不断的努力。
In the meantime, we have to be mindful, not mechanical, in our what we say, what we do, what we think.
同时呢，我们也需要就是非常的能够知觉啊，就是能够知觉到我们所做的、所说的以及所想的。我们不应该只是那个机械性的。
And we try to discipline the mind with our spiritual knowledge.
同时呢，我们用灵性的知识去规范我们的这个心意。
And then, sometimes we're successful, sometimes we're not. But if we keep doing it sincerely, mindfully, and with prayer, then gradually, I mean, these things take time.
当然了，有时候我们可能会成功，有时候还是会失败的。我们就持续不断的去付出真诚的努力，然后呢，我们也需要自己非常的能够就是觉察，能够专注自己所做的这些事情，而且通过不断的祈祷。
And read more Krishna Lila.
我们需要更多的去听 Krishna 的这个逍遥时光。
That always helps.
这对我们会有帮助的。
好 ，next。
下个问题是 Krishna 的仆人的仆人 ，Hare Krishna 顶拜帕布。我们文达问旅行时，怎么判断我们是否进入了主的内在能量？ 我们需要拜稳达问时，怎么判断自己是否处在主的内在能量中旅行呢？
How will we know?
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. How will we know? You'll experience great spiritual happiness.
你会体验到这个巨大的这个灵性的喜乐。
If you're doing the Vrindavan Parikrama and you're thinking, oh, I'm so hungry, oh, so-and-so offended me, oh, so-and-so didn't keep me prasadam, or you're chanting Hare Krishna and you're thinking of your home and your mobile phone, then you know you're not in Vrindavan properly.
就是如果呢，你是这种状态，就是你感到非常的极恶啊，然后呢，而且你总是在想，有人冒犯了你，或者是呢，这个人怎么没有给你留菩萨的呀？然后包括你念诵的时候，也总是会想到这个家，想着你的这个手机等等。那么你就可以通过这些征兆来说明你并没有真正的处在恰当的处在文达文的氛围当中。
Srila Prabhupada often gave the example: if you're hungry and you eat food and your hunger is satisfied, you know.
所以圣人爸爸的经常举这样的例子，就是如果你饿的话呢，你是通过荣耀一些菩萨的，你就满足了，你自己有这种亲身体验的，你会知道你什么时候就吃饱了。
So in the same way, when we're in the holy places, Mayapur, Vrindavan, or going on Parikrama, or if we are really feeling the spiritual nourishment, happiness, and concentration in our chanting and so on, and appreciation for the holy Dham and Krishna's pastimes and devotees, then we know the holy Dham is giving us some mercy. We'll experience it, like if we are hungry and we eat something, the hunger goes away, we'll experience it.
就是说如果我们去到像玛雅普还有文达文这样的圣地去绕拜的时候呢，就是我们能够感受的这种灵性的喜乐，这种灵性上的滋养，包括我们念诵的时候很专注，我们就知道我们是就是说从这个圣地，或者是从这个奉献者，从主的这个逍遥，我们很欣赏这个圣地，欣赏 Krishna 逍遥时光，包括欣赏这个奉献者，我们就知道我们是从 Krishna 那得到了某些这个仁慈，才可以做到这一点。
That's how we know.
这就是我们怎么能够知道，就像圣人帕巴德举的那个例子，就是如果你饿的，你吃了这个食物之后，你自己已经饱了，你就自己会体验到这种满足感的。
We all have that experience from time to time. Sometimes we are chanting and we somehow we're doing it a little bit nicely and we feel peaceful, we feel happy, we can concentrate easily, we feel very thankful for Krishna. We have good thinking about the devotees, but then other times we're chanting and in the mind we're complaining about this and that, and we experience.
所以呢，其实就是我们时不时的都会有这样的一个体验，就比如说我们的念诵，有时候当我们念诵稍微比较好一点的时候呢，我们就能够感受到这种平和，这种喜乐。我们也能够感受到我们念诵时候的这种专注，我们就对 Krishna 充满的这种感恩之心，然后呢，我们也会对奉献者有这个积极的一个正面的一些想法。但是有时候当我们的念诵不好的时候呢，我们就总是想要去抱怨，那么我们自己就会有这样的亲自的一个亲身体验的。
So in the holy Dham similar, we can know by our consciousness, our attraction, and all these other things. What if we are getting the mercy of the holy Dham, or if the holy Dham is hiding herself?
所以呢，就是我们也可以通过我们自己就是到底是否能够专注，能够受到这个圣地的这个吸引，那么我们也就知道
我们是否得到了这个圣地的仁慈，或者是圣地仍然就是仍然对我们保持这种隐蔽，我们是可以亲身体验到的。
OK, next.
下一个，陈娟，顶拜跑步，感谢翻译和主播，在工作和生活中怎么样练习意念 Krishna 和 Krishna 的富裕呢？
Read Bhagavad Gita.
阅读《薄伽梵歌》
Chapter 3 and Chapter 5.
就是有关第三、第五章。
These are the chapters about Karma Yoga.
有关这个 Karma 瑜伽。
So if you read those two chapters, then Krishna tells us how we should work and be conscious of Him.
Krishna 教导我们应该如何工作，同时呢能够记住他。
So that would be my answer for that question.
这就是我对于这个问题的一个回答。
And then pray to Bhagavad Gita to also reveal more understanding when you are reading.
而且呢，就是当你在阅读《薄伽梵歌》的时候呢，你要向薄伽梵歌祈祷，就是你可以有更多的这种理解。
Okay, next. Yes.
She also asked how to remember Krishna's opulence.
Read Bhagavad Gita chapter 10 and 11.
就是有关如果能够记住 Krishna 的富裕这方面呢，你就阅读《薄伽梵歌》的第十、十一章。
Right, chapter 10, the title is Opulence of the Absolute. That's the title of the chapter.
第十章的这个标题呢，就是绝对的富裕。
And then chapter 11, Krishna shows his opulence, universal form.
而在第十一章中呢 ，Krishna 也展现了他的这种富裕，他的这个宇宙形体。
So read those two chapters.
所以呢，有关 Krishna 的这个富裕方面，你就阅读第十章以及第十一章这两章。
So you need to read four chapters.
所以呢，你需要来阅读这四章。
It's a long answer. Four chapters is a long answer.
所以呢，四章的这么一个回答是一个很长的一个回答。
Okay, next.
Okay. 下个问题是 Radha Priya， 感谢帕布的讲课，感谢翻译主持的甜美服务。您讲到一个人的谦卑和臣服，决定了他能得到多少仁慈和觉悟。Krishna 也在《薄伽梵歌》里说，会根据我们皈依的程度给予相应的仁慈。而主 Chaitanya 来到这里，不看我们的资格，只是给仁慈。这似乎意味着我们也可以得到超出资格、臣服、超出资格和臣服的仁慈和觉悟呢？还是 Krishna？
Yes, you could say that.
是的，也可以这样说。
We are not very deserving in many ways, but yet, by Lord Chaitanya's mercy and the mercy of Lord Chaitanya's devotees, we are getting much more than we would normally deserve.
是的，其实我们在很多方面其实都没有资格，但是呢，借着主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 以及他的奉献者的仁慈，我们就得到了超出我们应得的那些很多的仁慈。
Right, as we have heard, as you also said, you know, Krishna is more particular.
就像我们经常听到和说的，就是 Krishna 呢，他更为这个特殊。
And you quoted, you know, as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly.
就像你所提到的这一点，就是 Krishna 他会说，就是根据一个人他皈依的程度，我会给予他相应的仁慈。
And then sometimes we hear.Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita also. First you surrender, then I protect you.
有时候呢，我们也是在《薄伽梵歌》中，就是听到 Krishna 呢，他就宣称，首先你要皈依我，然后呢，我给你这个仁慈。
So yes, in that regard, Krishna is more particular.
是 Krishna 他是更为这个特殊一点。
No, I didn't say special. Of course, he is special, but he is more particular. Has more.
就是 Krishna, yeah. 就是 Krishna 他要求的更就是具体一些。
But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time is like a sale. You know, sometimes the shop has a sale. Discount offer.
就是呢，主持人念嘛，哈帕布呢，他就是他就像是在做这种批发，在打折。
Sale, right? Even expensive shops, you might go to an Apple shop, and sometimes they have a sale on for one day or one week or something like this.
有时候你们去到这些商店，然后你们会发现这些苹果他们在做这个打折销售，然后呢，可能。只是一天或者是一周的一个时间。
So Mahaprabhu Chaitanya, yes, he's given a discount offer. That's true.
所以呢，是的，这个主持人念Mahaprabhu他就在给我们打折呢。
Sale.
我们的激发人池。
Sale. But only if we don't do Vaishnav Aparad. If we do Vaishnav Aparad, then the sale does not apply to us.
我们唯一的就是可以得到这个批发打折的这么一个条件呢，就是我们不要去做出 Vaishnava 的冒犯，否则的话我们就得不到这个打折的这个仁慈。
对 ，So yes, but yes, it's correct. Sale, discount offer.
所以他给到的我们是这个打折的一个价格，就是批发价。
But still, we have to pay a price. This doesn't mean it comes for free.
但是呢，仍然我们要付出一点代价，并不是说它就直接是免费的。
The Lord may distribute freely, but still we have to know how to take it also.
这个主呢，他也可能就是这个免费的这个派发，但是呢，我们呢。也是需要就是自己具备一定的一个资格能够得到他的这个仁慈。
OK 了。
好的，还有一个问题，李丽萍。顶拜跋布，什么是真正的臣服？那么想真诚臣服，是不是也需要祈祷呢
？Yes。
是的。
And again.It takes time to understand what is real surrender. Also, it's not just an academic intellectual understanding. It requires realization and revelation.
当然了，就是也需要一定的一个时间去理解到什么是真正的这个真正的这个皈依。它呢不只是。它并不依赖于你的这个学术的，或者是你的这种自信的这个理解。
So yes, prayer, but we also have to be thoughtful.
是的，我们是需要祈祷，但是同时我们应该是就是能够深思熟虑。
Reflect, right? We have to reflect.
我们应该就是能够反思。
对 ，and then in again time.These things don't happen in one day or two days, or one month or 2 months, or even 1 year and 2 years. But with all of the ingredients, then Krishna will reveal more and more.
所以呢，当然这也是需要时间的。它并不是说一天两天、一周两周或者一年两年，我们就立刻可以达到这种境界。
Right.
那么呢？但是呢，就是我们如果能够不断的这样去做的话呢 ，Krishna 他就会不断的向我们来揭示。
Surrender is a process.
所以呢，皈依它是一个过程。
And you may have heard there are 6 symptoms of surrender. You can inquire from the other devotees. Let them tell you.
就是呢，有关这个臣服皈依呢，它有6个这个特征，你也可以问其他的奉献者来了解这一点。
six symptoms of surrender. So if you know them, then you can evaluate how well have we understood or cultivated or practicing these six symptoms of surrender.
就是呢，如果你了解了这个六个皈依的这个征兆的话呢，你就可以就是去评估一下你就是自己所展示出来的这些方面有多少。
Okay, with that we shall stop.
就是我们今天呢就讲到这里，我们就讲这么多。
So thank you for listening.
感谢大家的聆听。
Next week we shall begin another pastime.
下周的话呢，我们就可以开始讲另外一个小小时光了。
The next pastime, let's see, maybe we can finish it in one class. Let's see how we go.
下一个小小时光有可能我们一节课的时间就可以讲完了，然后呢，我们要具体情况要具体看一下。
So, thank you for attending, and I pray you have all have a nice day.
非常感谢你们大家的参与啊，希望你们大家都可以度过美好的一天。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Yeah. Thank you for your wonderful lecture, and also for your wonderful answers to our question.
Thank you, Jamuna Priya, for your wonderful translation.
thank you for encouragement.
Thanks, Sati Mataji, for her wonderful broadcasting.
真的非常感谢，就是 Sati Mataji 的非常美妙的主持。
好。
好，为昆达之音服务员与聆听，各位亲爱的奉献者们，非常感谢大家的聆听。也感谢我们尊敬的全德西克法部为我们做出的精彩的讲课和对这些问题的耐心的非常有深度的一个解答。非常感谢沙提玛纳吉的一个转播，希望大家在 Krishna 知觉中度过美妙的一天。Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.